sharing with you each week information about missions, the importance of missions, and we'll have a different guest missionary with us each one of these next 3 weeks, counting this Sunday. And I'm going to have our missions coordinator, Don Waldron, come today, and he's going to make the introduction, Brother Don Waldron.
Thank you. Today we're privileged to have a missionary that's been in the field for many years in Mexico and Uruguay and most recently Spain. I've known Brother Ed Vergara for the past 25 years or so, since even in my former church we had supported him there. He and his wife Christine have been faithful to the call of the Lord. And let's just give him a good Trinity Assembly welcome for coming here to share the word that God's given him. Thank you, Brother Vergara. Come on up.
Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you so much. You notice that the pretty one in the picture, that's my wife, right? And she sends her love and greetings. I would like to do a couple of things this morning. I'd like to share for just a few moments and then open the forum if you have some questions. And am I on in here? It's all set? Okay. And so we are celebrating with Christine 25 years in missions. And let me see your hands, young people. Where are you? Everybody's a young person on the 99, I know. Okay, come on. I want to see you. There you are. Okay. All right, good. And I'm deeply interested in those that will take the torch after us. And a young muscle that will carry the word of God. One of the most sobering truths is this: Christianity is only a generation away from extinction. Christianity is only a generation away from extinction. God doesn't have grandchildren. God has children. And if our kids do not have an encounter with Jesus Christ, we are in deep trouble, and that is the truth of the matter. Amen? I usually don't start this way, but I'm going to do this. I started when I was 18 years of age, and I'm not going to give you a long-winded story, but I hope that God will meet us by His presence, and the dynamic of the Holy Spirit will be real in our hearts. I so enjoy seeing the mission's theme and also the parade. And there is much, much to be said as far as when a missionary leaves the United States. And then you go about your work and we go about ours. But then what happens over there? What happens? And that's what I'm here to talk about a little bit. Amen? Let me just tell you that Jesus knew that we needed His life in ours. Jesus knew that we needed His life into ours. And so after He ministered for 3+ years, and He ended up with 11 disciples instead of 12, and He had gone through His cross and resurrection. Then He appeared. And in one of those occasions, of those encounters with the Lord, He did something absolutely unusual. No prophet had done that except God in human form. That was Jesus. Very God and very man. Very human and very divine. And what He did was what God did in the beginning to that statue of mud that became Adam. I'm getting there, okay? Just bear with me. Is that all right? And I love the idea that God got His hands dirty. Oh, come on. Isn't that nice? Can you imagine Almighty God? I don't know what your picture is about Almighty God. But he is, it is so real, so down to earth, as we will call it, that he says, I am going to create man. And I know what the formula is, water and dirt. And here he went to work. He could have spoken it into being, but he didn't. He shaped it with his hands. God wants his fingerprints. I know that God doesn't have fingerprints, but put up with that, okay? God wants his fingerprints in your soul, in you, in your mind, in your life. He wants that. And Jesus knew that the only way he could do it, it was by his own intervention. God knew that the only way that he could create someone in his likeness and in his image was to put out himself, and then he just sent his breath. And he had fashioned the nose of what was to become Adam, and it was solid, solid mud. Are we together still? And when he sent that breath had design. I want to tell you something, young people, and all young people under 99, God never failed a test in mathematics or in physics. He passed them all because he created that stuff. So if you have a hard time with mathematics, physics, biology, and all of that stuff, tell the Lord when you see him in glory. He created that stuff. And that breath had design. And as it advanced inside that statue of mud, had creation, had a design. God is a God of purpose. God is a God of objectivity. And God is a God of design. And he has a purpose for your life. Do you know what it is? So when Jesus resurrected, the disciples never expected anything like this. And Jesus suddenly sent his breath. And he says, receive the Holy Spirit. No, that was not the baptism. That was what is called born again. That was the principle of regeneration. Is that good theology? I hope it is, otherwise, you know. And so they were able to, why was that necessary? How can we understand God unless he is in us? How can we hear God unless he is in us? How can we devote to God and turn our hearts to God and speak with him unless he initiates the dialogue? All right. I have to do this. Somebody told me, oh, take your time. Not a good idea. I don't know what we did with this gadget when this gadget's wearing here. Somebody says, what would we do without this? I said, live in peace. Yeah. I'm so busy. Bring, you know, the telephone. Bring, just shut the thing off. That's it. Let it be peace. Let me digest my hamburger or my food just a little bit in quietness. When God calls a life, he repeats the same thing he did with Adam. He shapes that life to his purpose. You are called of God, not just me. The difference between people and people and believers and believers is the degree of attention that we pay to our fellowship and to the fact that we have a dual citizenship, earthly and divine. So somebody asked me, you were born in South America. Where was your wife born? I said, in Germany. Really? Where did you meet? In New Jersey. Can I come down here? Let me come down here. Oh, this is home. I feel home. Someday you will be preaching and you'll do the same thing. And you tell me what are the chances of a South American just meeting, born in Uruguay and someone born in Germany and to meet, of all places, in New Jersey. And my wife's parents, Christine's parents, were prisoners of war from the Nazis. And my mother-in-law, she never returned to Russia. She was 19 when the Nazis invaded Russia, and they took her, brought her to Berlin, to the capital. And my father-in-law was 20-some, I guess, when the Nazis invaded Poland. And so they used to call us when we applied for missions, the UN nation, the UN family, because they said, what are we going to do with you? You know, birth certificates have to be certified. Somebody has to certify that the birth certificate from New Jersey or Massachusetts or New Hampshire is actually regional and blah, 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 and it has to go to an embassy, and it's a big deal. And so what am I going to do with your certificates? One was born on one side, the other one was on the other side. I said, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. We'll take care of it. And we did. Christine, as a little baby, they moved to Belgium, to the southern part of Belgium, in Ghent. G-E-H-N-T. If it's misspelled, just pretend that it's great. And from there, her dad received the gospel 7 times 3 is 21, about 210 yards below the ground. He was working in a coal mine, and somebody shared Christ with him. They immigrated when she was 10 to the United States. I received Christ as a young man, and David Noel, God bless. I tell you, did you know that God has a sense of humor? He must have, because the young man that spoke to me about Christ, and I insulted him. We tried to do anything to this guy, and he was cool as a cucumber. And he was from Catalonia. He was from Spain. And where did they end up? In Spain. God has a sense of humor. But I want to tell you something. When David Noel spoke to me, many years ago, over 40 years ago, about Christ, I knew in the heart of hearts that he told me something that I had never knew. First of all, that Jesus Christ is real. And this is what our young people need to know. They need to know that. They need to see God in action. I'm amazed how these guys, you know... What is the button? Oh, I left it over there. That's a good place. My iPod, you know, I'm sure you can show me things that I said, really? I didn't know it was there. And you can keep on going until my eyes are crossed, you know. But this is the thing. I saw a little tyke just playing with a little thing there, and he knew how to bring it back again. I was worshiping, Pastor, but I was watching too. And because this is the generation. So where does God fit in this generation of electronics? Is Christianity extinct? Is something like belongs to the time of the dinosaurs? And so the bridge between the reality of Christ and young people is a long bridge. But I think the parameter is the same thing whether it is now 2012 or in 1962, way beyond your time. My son says, Dad, did you meet Christopher Columbus? And I said to him, if you want to reach 17, you better knock it off. Knock it off. And so he was a wise guy. He has a great sense of humor, like his mother. Great sense of humor. Fabulous. And it's a wonderful thing to have. But I remember when I came to the first time, and then I'll hurry it up, I promised you. This has to do with the life of a missionary, how he can take somebody from anywhere. My mother had come also from Germany. In the time that Hitler took over, only those who have a little bit of money, he confiscated everything. And so I was going to say something about the distribution of wealth, but I'd rather not. I might lose my subject. And so her brother, my uncle, and her were able to come to Uruguay because Uruguay was one of the only countries that accepted immigrants from anywhere without a visa. And how in the world can you get a visa on your passport when the world is upside down, as it was in Second World War? And so when she tried to bring her parents, then the war started, and they died in the gas chambers. And it's amazing what a human being can do to a human being. And we think that the Muslims are nuts. They're extremists and all of the rest. But there is a lot of history that testifies that these things have been done over and over and over again. So Mom, as a German Jew, she stayed in Uruguay and married. And I remember the impact when I was a little boy and I saw her passport with a swastika, because that's the government that issued that thing. And that was very eerie, to think that she went through that time in her life. We met in New Jersey, of all places, and that's where we live with Chris for a little bit. But God called me to ministry in Uruguay. And I'm going to give you just two testimonies of this and then move on, okay? Is that all right? Is that a deal? I remember, how old are you, son? 21. I was a little bit younger than you. And I wouldn't recommend to take a church pastor at age 18 and a half. I wouldn't recommend that. But we love God, period. And what he did in my life, he became real in my life. And dad had passed away when I was 15 and left a great void in my heart. And I want to tell you something. My cousin invited me to this Easter services in 1966, a long time ago. But I have to tell you how Jesus became real to my life, and particularly for these young people. So it might awaken an interest to say, Jesus Christ, like Hebrews 13:8 says, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I didn't know that you could speak to God. I didn't know that he will even want to hear. All I knew was that I was a sinner, and I felt like a sinner, and there was practically no much of a hope. And so that's what you were taught in those days, and not in Christian churches, evangelical churches. But I remember that the celebration of Easter was from Palm Sunday to Easter, and there were meetings every day. There were not very long meetings, but we had meetings every day as a celebration. And the ceremony was the liturgy, or the service was pretty much the same. There was a time of singing. There was a time that church pray. I mean pray. And that is when it was my introduction. I didn't know that people could speak to God like that. Where did they learn like that? And I was very biblical. I was praying and watching on my knees. I was praying and watching. I didn't want to miss anything. I was so hungry. I was so empty. Have you been empty? And I remember that I can't remember what day of the week it happened. But the service went on, and pastor says, let's just go to our knees. We're going to begin to pray and pray and pray. And there will be the beautiful wave of prayer. And suddenly it was like someone took a bucket full of fire, joy, and peace. And suddenly came and poured it on me. I was just simply talking to God, and I have to tell you that this presence, that's, I don't know what else to call it, this presence came upon me, and I was there and I was not there. My arms, like somebody just picked up my arms and went up like that and began to worship and began to speak, from volume number 1 to number 11. And it was like a river of a presence. I could barely even think what I was saying and praising God. And this fire, this joy, this presence that just went from head to toes. And of course, experience does not confirm the Bible. The Bible confirms experience. Okay? It's very important. And so, I knew it was God, and I knew that the Lord had taken his business card and said, "Ed, I am Jesus. Nice meeting you." And in young people's terms, I said, "Wow. What was that?" Honestly. And so I sat very quietly for the rest of the service. I mean, and then it ended, the service came to a close, and the assistant pastor comes and says, "Ed, I want to talk to you." I said, "That's funny. I want to talk to you too." He says, "What happened?" "I have no idea, but it was great. It was God, I know." He says, "That was the Holy Spirit. And all of us since childhood, we heard Father, Son, Holy Spirit." "Really?" "Yes. You want to hear? There is more. There is more. I want to hear it." So he sat me down and went through the scriptures. And that was the beginning of a journey of 40 plus years as a Christian. if it means anything, these 40 plus years, it means that God is faithful. That's all it means to me. God is faithful. All right. What time do we have, Pastor? 10 off? All right. When God calls, he prepares. And he uses your past, and he uses your present. We learn from the past, both the unsaved past and during redemption, and he prepares you for your future. And I remember, I have to tell you this about Uruguay when I was 18, very quickly. I think it's worth listening. I remember a mother that brought a little child. He was around 7 or 8 years of age, approximately. And says, "My son was born with a congenital," is that how you say? "Congenital heart condition." And in those days, you know, there was surgeries where, you know, medicine was not so advanced and all of that. And now it's amazing what they can do, but we still need God. And I wondered if you can pray for him. I said, "Sure." And I don't know, in those days when you are so young, if it's faith or foolishness or a little bit of both, but there was absolutely nothing that God could not do. You kidding me? There was nothing that God could not do. So we saw people, deaf people, receiving the hearing and the mute speaking. And so this little boy, well, I preached with all of my heart salvation, you know, just to help them to understand the gospel. And I anointed that little boy with oil, as the Bible says, and we never saw them again. And in those days, you never asked the address of the person, because that was guaranteed they will never come back. It was until they really came, and slowly, it was a process. It was different, okay? It was different. Too much of a good thing at times is not good. And, then I had come to the States when I was 19, and I traveled all over the place preaching, and I learned some English, and so went back to Uruguay to do evangelism. And we were in a town. It doesn't matter what it was. And the speakers were about 15, 20 feet high, you know. in different directions. And I have a reason to tell you this. And I was speaking and sharing and calling people to Christ. And so people came to Christ. And the Lord did beautiful things and life went on. Then eventually, when I was 23 or so, I came to the States. I'm not going to get into that. And then met my wife, married, and then we had two little ones. And after 13 years, I returned to Uruguay. I just, when we were applying for missions in 87, I said, Chris, we were pastoring. I need to go back to Uruguay. I would love to go back to you one more time. I want to go back to Uruguay. It's been a long time since I've been there. So I contacted the superintendent. He prepared some services. And I was in a service. And before or after the service, this young man comes to me. And he says, are you Brother Ed Vergara? I says, yes. And by then I was in my mid-30s. And he says, I don't know if you can remember this, but a long time ago, a mother and a little boy went to a church service that you were preaching. And the little boy had a heart disease, a congenital heart disease. And if that was a Kodak moment, like my son Mark says, my mouth dropped because I said, it can be. He says, I want you to know that God healed me. And I pleaded with my mother. I pleaded with my mother, please take me to the church. Take me to the church. And she would not, because many people overseas treat evangelical churches like the witch doctor. Well, this one doesn't have power. Maybe this other one will have power. But there is no understanding. There is no understanding in here or in here. And he said this, and this is for you, young people. He was a young kid, a young child. The day I grow up, I am going to go to a church and serve God because of what he did. Can we give a clap offering to the Lord? He was a young man in his mid-20s or so, and I looked at him. Are you that kid? He says, yes, I am. And when I heard that you were coming from the United States, I could not believe that. And I began to ask, is this the same preacher, the same young man that used to be in such a street, in such a place? Yes, that's the one. And I was in awe. Okay, one more thing, and I'll get going. And I haven't even started, have I? That's okay. No, I promise the meatloaf is not going to burn. But this is good to talk about these things. Because this is how a life is shaped through a journey. I was in another meeting in Uruguay in that time. A young lady comes. And he says to me, are you Brother Ed? Yes, I am. He says, you don't know me. No, I don't. And if I did, it's been a long time that I've been away. Do you remember when you were in this town so-and-so? Yes, I do. I heard you every night in the front of my house. The speakers carry the voice, and I could hear the message. And I was sitting in a little chair in front of my house. And when you made the invitation to accept Christ, I did. And I looked at her, and I said, dear God. And I looked at her. I cannot begin to tell you what went through me. The power of the Word of God. Have you ever given God a chance to show you His power? We give a chance to the videos. We give a chance to movies. We give a chance to TV. We give a chance to friends to talk blah, 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 ha, 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 ha. Have you given equal opportunity, I speak to everyone, including my favorite young people here. Have you given the opportunity for Jesus Christ to show you what he can really do? This is what we taught in Paraguay, in Mexico City, in Spain, in the United States, everywhere. Jesus Christ did not grow old like I did. Jesus Christ is the same. He has the same power. When he came to earth, he went to the right hand of the Father. 2,000 years later, doesn't face him. And I said to this young lady, tell me what happened to you. Well, I received Christ. And she was in an isolated place in a town. And then when I grew up, and then I left the interior of the country and came to the capital city, and I look for a church. And thank God I found an Assemblies of God church. And how in the world she can remember the name of somebody that never met? So when they announced in the church that it was going to be this and such a speaker was going to come, can it be the same? And she also began to find out. All right, let's forward fast. You guys are used to this, right? When we went to Spain, I itinerated. I came here in, I did an 05. Yes, it was 05. And I had a wicked cold. I remember that it was not in here. It was in another place, like in a room or something. I can't remember exactly. It was a few folks there. And I think it was wintry weather. And when the last time that I came here. And some folks told me, two or three people told me during the time of itineration, you know that you're going to the cemetery of missionaries. And I say, oh, thank you. I love you too. You know Job's comforters? But I didn't know if it was a Job comforter, you know. Well, some of you still don't know what it is. That's okay. Ask the pastor. That's the nice thing. We stir the pot and then pastor fixes it up. And so I didn't know if it was prophetic or, well, it was a little bit of both. And I'm not the same person that left in 07. I never knew that Jesus was enrolled by the Holy Spirit after he was baptized with water and with Holy Spirit in the Jordan. The first thing that Luke says and Mark says and the Gospel says of Matthew is the Holy Spirit led Jesus to the wilderness. And there is a message for me, and I hope there is a message for you. I much rather go through a wilderness experience in the complete will of God than by sending myself because of a wrong decision. Young people and everybody else, write this in the tablets of your heart, and it is the law of becoming. It's very important. I become what I think. I become what I believe. And I become what I decide. And these three principles are absolutely invisible to anybody else except to you and to me. This is the process of the Garden of Eden. So God said, how selfish he is. And so Eve believed that there was more than what God has said. Excuse me. Eve thought first, there is more. Then she believed it. Then she acted upon it. And so did Adam. The quality, I'll say this and move along. Can I repeat the law of becoming? I become what I think. I become what I believe. And I become what I decide. The quality of our decisions determines the season that I enter into. Okay, enough of that. The Lord enrolled us in Wilderness 101 in Spain. 5 minutes and I quit, I promise you. And then I opened the forum if you want to do that. If I had a message this morning to speak just that message, I will entitle it, Where There Is No Presence, But There Is Reality. And that is the wilderness where God takes you to learn about yourself and about Him. And we were happy, go lucky, two middle-aged folks. And all of a sudden, for no reason at all, we were watching our spiritual life and this and that. We had grand plans to preach the gospel in Spain. We were already in Spain. And all of a sudden, our soul began to dry like a piece of toast. You know when you put a toast twice and you say, I wish I didn't do that. And my wife says, what's going on? I said, I think it is welcome to spiritual warfare in Spain. And we began to compare this experience with other missionaries from, she was from Belgium, and he was from Belgium, she was from Finland. And I said, what's going on? You know, this is what we've been going through, this kind of a dryness. Prayer doesn't seem to go above the ceiling. And there is something, there is a conflict, there is a lack of peace. He says, welcome to Spain. When God is going to direct you to minister to someone, particularly overseas, to another culture, to another scenario, and where there's so much history, in the 1500s, you know, how Spain killed the Jews, and then the Inquisition and the conquest of the Americas. There is a long history here. We're not going to get into that. There is no time for that. And when God wants you to minister to a specific people or peoples or for a reason, He will prepare you. Besides your theological preparation and all of that, that's great. But there is something defined, the fine touches that God has to do. And that is the time when there is no presence, when there is no the joy, the support of believers. This is when you have the prayer card and ask the pastor a little bit of history, you know, birth date and then the children and all of the rest and the country, and write to the missionary email, please give me 3 prayer requests. I would love to join with you in prayer. Would you do that? Perhaps some of you are doing it already. And time went by. I will fast forward again. And things were pretty tough. Until just like God managed to find water for 2 million people in the wilderness when Israel was going through, and He will manage in your own circumstances to find the answer for you. He will become real to you. The hand of God will be upon you in ways that He can only design, and through the word, and through prayer, and through an encounter by the Holy Spirit, and you will know that you will know that you will know that Jesus Christ is Lord. And when a message came through an email from my area director, I knew that the cloud of God, like the pillar of the cloud in Israel, remember in the wilderness, I knew that that was the hand of God. There is something I want to talk to you, Ed and Chris. You're going to meet us in Tarragona, in the southeastern part of Spain. I cannot tell you right now, but when you come here in 10 days, you will know what it is. I called my wife to the library because we lived in a house that we were supposed to have electricity in a week, and it was 4 months until the electricity came. How would you like that? Christine learned to cook in one of those camping deals, you know, one burner thing, the gas, that lasted about a week. And my job was to get ice and you know, 3 times a day, so they're in the cooler, so then the food will not spoil. And then to buy candles and candles and candles at night, you know. And then I said to her, after the first month, I said to her, "Sweetie, I have a request." "What is it?" She says to me, "For a very long time, don't ask me for a candlelight dinner." Some of you still are coming down the pike, you know, but that's okay. I mean, burning candles for 4 months, you know what I'm talking about. We saw the hand of God. Then it made sense. All that time of soul searching. And there is something about it. There is something about it in the call of God. And that is, He asks for the surrender of your entire being. A football player, they were showing in Teen Challenge New England where I'm staying, facing the Giants yesterday, and I learned a lot of stuff about the Lord. How many of you saw that movie, Facing the Giants? I think young people should see that, Pastor. It's just a little, you know, propaganda, a little commercial. It will be great. And the necessity for God to become real. And today, more than ever before, just where our country is, we need one more time, like Habakkuk says, "Lord, I heard your word and I fear. Lord, revive your work. Revive your work. Become real. Become real." Like Bruce Olsen, a missionary to the Motilone Indians. And after 5 years, he did not win a Motilone Indian in Ecuador. He says, "Lord Jesus Christ, become a Motilone Indian." And then God gave the answer. Let me conclude with this, and I will conclude. And then if you have questions, amen. Otherwise, amen. We saw in Spain people coming to Christ, not like in South America, but just one by one. And I remember this gentleman. I had come out, and he was looking around. We were in a gym, actually, in a gymnasium, you know, and setting up every Sunday. Oh, that was a job, until we were able to rent something of our own. Is there a church gathering in here? He says from his little card, yeah, we meet here in such and such a time. I'll be here next week. Okay, such a time. Yes, I'll be here. Okay, fine. Pastor, anything that could go wrong in that service went wrong. So, we're about to start the service, and something went with the famous electronics, that the microphone was not working, the projector was not working, something, there was a bug in there, and or was the overhead that was not working, so then people could not sing the songs. And I said, "No problem." I said, "You know something, folks?" I said, "I'm ready to preach. I'm ready to preach. Oh, I studied with this thing, and I'm ready to go. Amen, amen." And the visitor was there, and I said, "Heavenly Father, hold him fast. And just hold him fast. Put just the seatbelt or something. Don't let him go." And I share my heart. I share my heart. And as I was finishing the message, somebody makes signs, you know, waves from me from the back. "It's okay, it's okay." And I said, "Well, this is marvelous. I'm finishing my message. We're going to, you know, take the offering. And now we're going to just worship the Lord for a few moments. Everything is fine." And so we just did that and praised the Lord and all this. And then the service was finished. And I looked for the visitor, and he was nowhere to be found. And I said, "Oh, Lord." In America, we said we didn't make a good impression, something like that. But I don't think that's what we need. Never mind the impression. They have to listen from God. Never mind the impression. You know. And I said to Chris, I'm troubled. What? I don't know what happened. I went to greet this man and he disappeared like a ghost. I mean, with his son. And you know, let's just pray. And we prayed through the week. And the following Sunday, he showed up with his whole family. There was four boys, including one baby, and his wife, and they came. And my heart was just, I was in the third cloud, in the third heaven, and I share my heart. And you know how we can change a message just to feed people. There's so many needs, so many needs. Everybody's in a different place in Christ. And I didn't know part of his problems, but in part I did. And about 6 months later, his father-in-law comes, and he, with tears in his eyes, he says to me, you have done a great job with so-and-so. I says, me? I said, I have absolutely nothing to do with it. Let me direct you to the source. His name is Jesus, because I cannot change myself, never mind anybody else. I have my own troubles. And the whole family is different. They have devotions and this. And then he says, a businessman, he says, would you come to my house and teach me? Well, if you prepare tea or coffee, one or the other, I'll be there. So we will meet mostly once a week. And we'll sit down and read and talk. I had the joy to baptize him. I don't know if he's in the picture back there. But him and his wife, and it was a stormy day in the Atlantic. And what a joy in the Lord. Kids were ministered. Christine has a tremendous talent to minister to children. It's like flies coming to the honey. And she has such a little space at times too. And she had, ladies, you'll appreciate this. She had the nursery here, you know, and then she had the toddlers, and then she had the two tables with the Sunday school. Can you imagine? She was cool as a cucumber. She says, I love kids. And at times they will cry for mommy, you know. He knows that I'm a grandpa. That's why he's following me. I know. And so I have four grandkids. You can tell that I'm proud, right? All right. And so at times the kids will want mommy and will come to Christine, and she will have one in one side and another in the other side, and she will teach like this. And I says, how can you do that? She says, I love it. I love it, she says. And the kids love her. I haven't said much about missions in a way, but in a way I have. We need the Lord Jesus Christ in our day and in our time. I think anywhere, including the United States, where we determine, we make a commitment to Christ. What is the word? I saw that word. The moment we make a commitment to Christ, and like somebody says, I can mark the spot, the time when I said, Lord Jesus, you and I are going to be a team and we're going to be unbeatable. Come on. That's a good thing to say, praise the Lord. Amen. Young people, tell the Lord, you and me, an unbeatable team. And then tell the Lord, will you lead me? Will you speak to me? You will be amazed what he's going to do with your life. And so, to be honest with you, there are less distractions and things in other countries, but the parameter and the common denominator is the same. The moment there is a commitment and an openness of heart, the gospel is there and the Spirit of God is there, regardless. Thank you so very much. God bless you.
We're going to receive a special missions offering in just a minute, but this is what I feel led to do. Our brothers have been speaking about commitment and the personal commitment. And so before we receive the offering, if anybody is here today and you haven't made that kind of commitment that you need to make, I believe God is calling you to make that commitment. And the way you do it is you just simply say, God, I want to serve you. Jesus, I need you in my life. I want you to come into my life, and I commit myself to serve you to the best of my ability and with your help. That's all you got to do. And so I want everybody to bow their head right now. Right now, everyone bow their head. I don't know about your situation, but I believe for this whole service, I just felt God is speaking to somebody. If for no other reason, Brother Vergara came today for somebody to hear what he said about personal commitment, that God wants you to make a decision right now. And I'm not going to ask you to do anything else except to say yes to God. And the way you do that in these next few moments, right where you are, you just breathe a little prayer and say, Jesus, I want to serve you. And I promise to commit my life to you. I want to live for you. And God, you have a purpose for my life. I want you to show me what that purpose is. I don't want to live life just from day to day in an aimless way. I want my life to count for something. And God, you've spoken to my heart today, and I know you want to do something in my heart and in my life. You've got a purpose for me. And now, Lord, I surrender myself to you. And I say, Lord, show me what your divine purpose is. I want to fulfill it. That's all you got to say to the Lord. In these closing moments of this service, before we receive this final offering, all the offerings going to go to missions, missions convention. But right now is your time. And so I'm going to breathe a little prayer right now for you. And don't you hesitate. You don't always have the same opportunities. Don't put off what God wants to do. God has been speaking to you today. He took time out for you. And you know he's been speaking to your heart. God does not always do it this way. But through the whole service, I felt God is speaking to somebody. You take advantage of the opportunity God has given you. He's given you an opportunity to see your life change radically. And it will be for the better. God wants you to live a life filled with joy and purpose. And you have the opportunity right now, simply by saying yes to God, to allow God to do that in your life. As your heads are bowed, I'm going to pray and you make that decision. Jesus, right now, you're speaking to somebody. They've heard the message of our veteran missionary, how God was faithful. Lord, you spoke to him early in life. And you've been faithful all down through the years, done miracles of grace in his life. And they're examples to us today of the faithfulness of the God we serve. There's somebody here today, and they just need to say yes to you. I pray they do that right now. They say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Change my life. I want to serve you. And I believe you're going to show me how to do that. I believe you're going to bless my life as I promise to serve you. Lord, come into my life. Be my Savior. Lord, somebody needs to pray that prayer. And I pray that they've just done that before we conclude. This will be a new day for them. And they'll experience joy they've never experienced before. A sense of purpose and peace and satisfaction. They'll experience all those things by simply saying yes to you and to your Holy Spirit. I pray they do that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now hear me this morning. Again, we've been challenged to listen to the voice of God. God needs laborers. God needs workers. And Brother Vergara said something that I was thinking in recent days about too. Who's gonna take your place? If the young people and others don't respond, who's gonna be there? who's going to follow in your footsteps. We have missionaries every year that come off the field, veteran missionaries. They have to, some because of health reasons, some just because of age. They can't labor anymore in their chosen field. And who's going to go? Is it going to be an empty spot of ministry somewhere? Listen, God challenges young people. And I want to all our young people, I want you to listen to what God is saying. Maybe God wants you to find a place of ministry because there's somebody that's going to have to leave their place of ministry. And somebody wants to hear the gospel. And somebody needs to hear the gospel. And they're not going to have that person there unless somebody like you says yes to the Lord. You need to hear the voice of the God. In all of your planning, you need to ask God what He wants you to do. We're all missionaries in one sense. So I want to challenge you this morning to commit yourself to hear the voice of the Lord. Maybe God wants to raise up a missionary that's right here this morning. Some young person or some individual that God is calling. Or maybe some other type of ministry that God wants to call you to. Because somebody is going to be leaving the missionary field. Somebody's going to be leaving the ministry. Someone has to then take up where that person was and continue what God wants to be done. There's no greater call than the call of God. That's what it's all about. Jesus, we surrender to you this morning. All of our desires, all our aspirations, because ultimately that's all that's going to make a difference when we stand before you one day. It's not all the things we've been able to do for ourselves. It's not all of the experiences we've been able to have that brought us joy. What's going to make a difference is what we've done for you and for your kingdom. And so I pray, Lord, that young and old alike this morning, we'll so order our lives with eternity's values in view that we will desire to do your will. Call somebody, Lord. Call somebody. There's some church that's going to need a pastor. There's some mission field that's going to need a missionary. There's some ministry out there that needs a leader. God, call your people. Lord of the harvest, send forth laborers into the harvest field. Laborers that are committed to you and to your service. May this very week be one of harvest for this church. As we prepare to leave this place, may we go with your divine anointing. Help us to speak the word to somebody, Lord. Help us to show somebody the way. That your house may be full. That your kingdom would go forward. Your people have heard your voice. Now may they go, anointed by your Holy Spirit, to serve. May your grace, peace, and love abide upon your people. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. God bless you. Have a great Lord's Day.
On my own, now that I am seen.